Welcome to Nightlife, bite-sized travel.
Tonight in Monday Night Travel, we're off trekking to one of the world's most incredible locations for anyone wanting a seriously challenging hike. And that's Nepal, home, of course, of the world's highest mountain in the form of Mount Everest, and some of the world's most well-known trekking routes in the form of the Annapurna Circuit and Everest Base Camp. Tonight, however, we're visiting another part of Nepal, the Langtang Valley, and this was a place that was badly affected by the 2015 earthquake, of course, which struck about this time on around about May the 12th. Travel writer Louise Sutherland's been trekking there recently, and she joins us on Nightlife. Louise, good evening. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Good evening, Phil. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, it's lovely to have you. Tell me, just locate the Langtang Valley for us in Nepal.
Okay, well, it's quite unlike the other two popular trekking areas, which you mentioned, the Everest region and the Annapurnas, which for the both of those, you have to take a short, like a half-hour flight from Kathmandu. But for the Langtang Valley, you just drive. It's about a day's drive north, which it actually isn't as far as that sounds. It's only about 60 k's north of Kathmandu, but it does take you all day to get there because there are roadblocks and police checks, and there's a lot of reconstruction of the roads after the earthquakes. And it's the closest trekking region, really, where you can get among big mountains and, you know, beautiful scenery, but it's still really accessible to Kathmandu.
Right. So you can still watch. So you can see snowy peaks and all of that, can you?
Oh, yeah. Yep. You're basically walking in this U-shaped glacial valley. And then as the further you go up the valley, the more the view opens out and you're surrounded by 6,000 and 7,000 meter peaks, which are always snow covered even in summer.
Mm. The trekking in the Langtang, though, is quite different from base camp or Annapurna because it's more about visiting the people who live in the region as much as the trekking itself, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, because in those, I guess Everest Base Camp is pretty much a trekker highway now, and so it's very busy, lots of trekkers, and the tea houses are more elaborate and it's much more geared towards tourism. The Annapurnas is different because there are a lot more different trails and you can spread out a lot, so you can still get away from trekkers, but it's still different. And Langtang Valley, I guess, you're visiting the villages. This trip that I did was run by Intrepid, and they, I think, are the only tour operator that does this two-pronged, two-week trip. So you visit the Tamang Heritage Trail first, which is a different valley where you visit these Tamang people, and that really is village hopping. So you're staying in tea houses, which are basically just people's houses that they have another few rooms added, and they cook meals for you. And it sounds more elaborate, but they're not like hotels or guest houses. They're really very simple and very basic.
Mm.
And so that really is where you're seeing how people live. And you're on that trek. I think we saw three other trekkers in all week, and they were independent trekkers. We were in a group of, we had 10 people in our group, and we had three guides, and then we had porters to carry our bags, which was really nice. So we just had to carry day packs, which mm-hmm. is the nice thing about trekking in a place like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Tell me a bit about the Tamang people who live there anyway. What was it like to visit them?
They're very Tibetan. So they started as Tibetan horse traders, apparently, who would visit over, you know, before borders, I guess, they would come in from the Tibetan plateau and trade horses with the Nepalis. And now it's a very Tibetan part of Nepal. So there are lots of, you know, it's very Tibetan Buddhist. There's lots of Tibetan monasteries, and the people have Tibetan dress. The women in particular have a particular style of dress. It's like a tunic, and they wear a striped woven apron, and they have coral and turquoise necklaces, and the houses are very distinctive. They have these dark wooden carved windows, no glass, of course, in the windows a lot of the time, but just very, you know, it's the kind of place where they build from the materials that are around them. So the villages are all basically stone and wood. So there are lots of dry stone walls, and there's stone, just stone put together, and then wooden roofs, often slate roofs as well on the slabs of rock on the roofs. It's very simple, very subsistence life. You know, people live hand to mouth in those areas. So, mm-hmm. you know, you see people you know, still ploughing fields with bullocks. And, you know, some of the, we saw this old couple walking along the trail. On, you know, we only saw three other tourists that week. So it's very much off the beaten track in terms of trekkers.
Would you recommend it for people who might be first-timers to Nepal, or might they be better off perhaps doing the Annapurna or the Everest Base Camp Trail?
It's hard to say. I guess Annapurna's, I mean, people do like the Everest Base Camp because it's the big one and they get to tick off seeing Everest. But I wouldn't recommend the Everest Base Camp because it is very touristy. Annapurna's has the big mountains. But, yeah, I think this region is great because it's close to Kathmandu. The Langtang Valley probably is a good first-time one because that's a bit more level. There's a joke that there's no flat land in Nepal, and that's kind of true. And especially on this trek, the first week we were basically going steeply up and steeply down all the time. And there was some bits where our guide would say, "Oh, we've got a bit of a bit of flat land today," and we'd say, "Is that Nepali flat, where it's just kind of still goes up and down, but you don't really get to go across?" So you do have to have a little bit of training before you do treks like this, which is it's always a good idea anyway because you enjoy it more when you're there.
Sure. You said accommodation's pretty basic. How basic? I wonder. What about washing and bathroom facilities?
Yeah, well, they all have bathrooms. so I guess you'd have a little room which is just plain wooden walls, wooden floors, no insulation, no heating. You might have a couple of single beds in there. You'd bring your own sleeping bag, but they can supply blankets as well if you're cold, which we had to do a few times because it was cold at night. You have squat toilets and they might have a hot shower, either solar hot water or gas hot water. And so sometimes they would just fill a bucket of hot water and they'd have a stall that we could go into and we could do a bucket wash, which was perfectly fine when you've been trekking all day. And the days were actually quite warm at this time of year, just a couple of weeks ago in April. So you get kind of hot and sweaty and dusty. And by the end of the day, it's nice to have a bit of a wash. So, and then the food is basic but good, prepared right there. So they prepare noodles and dal bhat is the classic trekker's meal, which is, have you ever had dal bhat?
No, tell me about dal bhat.
Dal bhat is basically rice with lentils. Dal is like a lentil soup and bhat is rice, but then they have a couple of different curries with it. So it's a plate of rice with some curry and stuff. So, okay. But it's all freshly made and healthy. And then you can have, you can order spaghetti and pizza and things like that if you want to have a bit of a treat. We had some apple pie in a couple of tea houses, which was a bit of a treat. it's simple and, but that's fine, you know, and you're usually up early, you know, 6 or 6:30 and then you're on the trail by 7 or 7:30.
How physically arduous is it?
Well, I found this trek actually tougher than I thought. I guess the steepness going up and down can play havoc with your quads.
How high is it? Is it the altitude a problem?
No, this is actually one of the nice things about this region, which is why it's good for a first-time trekker, perhaps, is that you don't go very high. So I'm not sure if you know, but Kathmandu is at about 1,400 metres above sea level. And so you're not that much higher on this trek. I think the first week we were between 2,200 and 2,600 metres. Mm-hmm. And then the second week when we went into the Langtang Valley, we went up to 3,800 metres and then did one walk when we went up to about 4,700. But that was just for a peak climb in the morning. And the highest we slept was about 3,800 metres. But you acclimatise, and I think that's the advantage of going with a tour operator, is that they pace the trip so that you don't go too high too fast, and that, you know, they ensure that you drink lots of water because that helps you acclimatise to the altitude. And you're going to bed early, you know, you get plenty of sleep, and, you know, I think some days we were struggling to stay awake past about 8 o'clock at night. So it's quiet. It's a quiet, but you make the most of the days because you're out all day and yeah.
Louise Sutherland's with us. We're trekking in Nepal on Monday Night Travel. And we're in a valley called the Langtang Valley, which is near Kathmandu. We're on a trek a bit different from the classic treks, perhaps, of Annapurna and Everest Base Camp. This area was quite badly hit by the earthquake. Is there still evidence of that?
Yes, very much so. I mean, it's 3 years now since the earthquakes hit in April and May 2015. And, I mean, everywhere you go, people are still talking about it. They all have stories about where they were on the day, particularly on April 25th, which was the big one, the 7.8 on the Richter scale. And Langtang Village in the Langtang Valley was the hardest hit of all the places. They lost about 300 people were killed, including 80 foreigners who were trekking there. And it's because it has traditionally been the third most popular trekking destination in Nepal after the Everest region and the Annapurnas. So, and it was April, which was the main season. April, May and October, November are the main times people go there. So, what happened was the earthquake kind of shook loose a lot of the top of the mountain overlooking the valley, and a landslide buried the village, and it was all over in a matter of minutes, apparently. And when you go there now, it's a very narrow valley, so I guess they often have landslides which will block the trail and then it has to be rebuilt and things. So you do still see you can still see evidence of the landslides that keep happening, but there's, all the way along you're seeing villages that have been, that were destroyed and are being rebuilt. You're seeing, we passed donkey trains that were carrying sandbags for rebuilding. They're introducing a lot of concrete now into the village construction because a lot of the houses are just made of loose stone. So when the earthquake hit, a lot of them were kind of just shaken apart and they just fell down like that. I guess the main thing that you notice is when you reach Langtang Village and you have to, so the trek that we did walked to the town that was past Langtang Village or past where Langtang Village used to be. And it's haunting. It's when you approach it, you can see there's a whole gravel slide that covers where the village used to be and you walk over it. Wow. So you're basically walking over the buried village. There were still, I think, at least 100 people who weren't accounted for who were still there. All the guest houses, I think there used to be, 26 guest houses in the village, and they're all smothered by this gravel and ice. So it's quite terrible, haunting and sad. But they're rebuilding the village on the other side. And people are not, they don't want to leave where they grew up and where their families are from. And so they're, it's part of visiting Langtang that you go through this and you do see signs of the devastation all the way along. But there's a lot of hope and it's quite moving. It really added an emotional dimension to the trip. Yeah.
I can imagine. All right, we've been trekking in Nepal tonight with Louise Sutherland, and we've been trekking in the Langtang Valley, something to think about if you're considering a trek to Nepal. It's a little different from the others. Louise, great to talk with you.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.